However, obviously pulling those out, using them individually would not create a reliable tool for the PTA. So just straight off, I'll just let you know, this is a PT tool only. So what is the purpose of the performance evaluation tool, also affectionately known as the PET? So if I refer to it as the PET, that's what I'm talking about. First and foremost, always in the minds of our jurisdictions and the Federation, what we are doing with our tools, it's all about public protection and evaluating the ability of that foreign educated physical therapist to practice competently in the United States healthcare system, which is kind of a unique piece to this tool also, that it actually specifically does reference the U.S. healthcare system. One of the other purposes is to ensure clinical competence. As you all know, when they take the NPTE, it takes a great look at their didactic education. We don't have practicals in with regard to the NPTE and with state licensing. So this is a way, using the PET, to take a look at their ability to deliver safe and effective care. It's actually also a means to evaluate cultural competence, which is one of the items that they are evaluated on their coursework tool, to make sure that that has been part of their education program. But here you get to really see it in the clinic. And then not any less important is their ability to communicate in a clinical setting in English. As of right now, I mean, I understand that there's areas of your state where English probably is not the primary language spoken. However, in our healthcare system, when you look at federal payers, other payers, other individuals that you have to communicate, the English language is still the primary language that is done in. And it's imperative that an individual practicing in the United States be able to communicate in English. So some of the advantages of the Supervised Clinical Practice PET from the Federation is that it was developed specifically for PTs that are not familiar with the U.S. healthcare system. It was developed specifically to evaluate clinical communication skills. There isn't another tool out there that does that. We brought in subject matter experts. I mean, this is something that we do really well at the Federation. And we went through a standard setting process in order to determine the passing score on the PET. So much as we've done standard settings with the NPTE, we did a very different process. However, it was still based in evidence. We did some research as to these alternate types of standard settings, and that's actually what we did. So we utilized best current research on standard settings and brought in subject matter experts, many of which are foreign educated themselves, in order to determine the passing score. The tool itself is determined to have content validity. It is 100% free for a jurisdiction, a supervisor, and a trainee to use. It is user-friendly. It's automated scoring. It is complete online access. It's a defensible, and it's a consistent application to the evaluation process. And good for you is that the Federation is maintaining the website and the tool, and we provide the customer support. So if the supervisor or the trainee is having difficulty getting on, they're going to call us or work through us, and we are going to help them through that process. So we have grown quite a bit with the use of the PET over the last 3 years. Virginia was the original state. They had nothing that they liked. They had had an old homemade evaluation product that they were using, and they couldn't stand it. So they were actually our pilot state, and they have had every individual that has done a supervised clinical practice in the state of Virginia use the PET since the very first day it was released. I should have looked this up, but I'm not sure exactly how long ago that was. I said it's been at least 5 years, if not more, and I'm sure it's been actually over 5 years. And the other states that are currently using the PET are North Dakota, Louisiana, Kentucky, South Carolina, Minnesota, Alaska, and California. So Arizona, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Wyoming remain the only states with a certified clinical practice and are not using the PET. With regard to Oklahoma, they're a little bit more difficult to get somebody to talk to me about it. So I'm not even sure who to reach out to. Their board is very supervisory in nature. They don't have the type of board structure that you guys do where it's easier for them to make decisions. So I think they're going to be hard to get to simply because I don't know who would be the decision maker in that case. And it's hard to get a communication with them. And then Indiana also is a state with a supervised clinical practice that's not using the PET, but they became an independent board and had a complete practice act do-over update in July of 2019. So really since that time, they've been trying to just, they were a small committee underneath the medical board up until that time. So really the last year and a half for them has been about getting up and moving and running with regard to just having an independent board. So I will be reaching out to them. Now they kind of have their feet underneath them and they've got, you know, their rules written and things like that so that we can talk about using the PET there. So one thing I do want to talk about with you guys, I think that the current tool that you're using is the APTA's CPI. And there are a few things that give me pause with regard to the CPI and that I'm not sure that your board is aware of. And if not, then I did want to take the opportunity to make you aware of it. The CPI right now is a complete online web assessment. So other versions of it that were written versions, those are no longer up to date. And in order to access the CPI now, you have to have online training. Both the student, so the trainee and the supervisor, both have to have training in order to access the CPI. And that is through the APTA's Learning Center. So I'm not even sure if you can take it if you're not a member, but I'm not sure about that. So anyway, but that is, in order to actually access the current tool, and the only tool that they are using right now, you have to have online training. And for an academic program, which in this case, you guys would sort of be analogous to the academic program because you're the one who has the student, if you would, like if the trainee was considered like a student. And an annual subscription fee for the online tool for academic programs is $1,100. So in order to be able to access the tool, I believe there would be a fee to you. That paper version is no longer current, and it's at this point it's web-based only, and it's also a copyrighted document. It's owned by the APTA, and anytime you make a copy of the CPI without APTA's permission, it actually constitutes an infringement of the copyright. And when you prepare, when you change it or otherwise adopt it without APTA's permission, it's also an infringement of the copyright. And that can actually lead to criminal liability. So this is something we know that a number of jurisdictions were using the CPI for a long time for their foreign educated PTs. And then we came to find out some of this information and that was a little disconcerting. So how does this work? So the jurisdiction will contact the federation to create an account. So say that you guys, at some point you voted and you said, hey, we like the looks of this tool. We want to create an account. Or if Karen reached out to me and said that you guys really just wanted to take a closer look at it and sort of mess around with it a little bit prior to voting on it or whatever. What you can do is just send me an email and ask to create a jurisdiction account. The first thing you'll do, we don't allow jurisdiction accounts to be created just because there's you get access to a lot of information if you're a jurisdiction. So what we have people do, say like Karen, your executive director, we wanted a jurisdiction account. She would actually go in, she would create an account either as a supervisor or a trainee, and then send me an email and say, hey, can you change us over to a jurisdiction account? And I would say, sure. And she would give me a list of anybody else who should have access as a jurisdiction account, and they would create their own also. So you contact us to create the account. Jurisdictions receive a push notice of completed evaluation. So you'll get an email that says you have a completed evaluation for so-and-so. And then you log in and you're able to pull down the evaluation. You can print it, you can look through it there. You can also request additional evaluations. So say that there was someone had submitted their midterm and you guys were like, oh, this is not looking good. Like, we're going to need an update sooner than the final. You could actually request an additional evaluation with a little button, and that information would go to the supervisor and to the trainee. You can add a supervisor. So if the trainee were to contact you and say, hey, I've changed supervisors for this reason, you can do that. And then you will get the evaluation summary report. So a supervisor, they create their account directly online. So if you have a supervisor or a trainee contact you and say, oh, okay, what's my first step? You're just going to send them to fsbpt.org/scppet and tell them to create their accounts online themselves. So you don't have to do anything with that. And it's linked specifically to the trainee, or linked, and so one supervisor is linked specifically to the trainee, and that supervisor is able to add multiple supervisors also. So if there is, if a person has two supervisors or whatever, they can do that. And then that trainee's account is linked to a specific supervisor. So one thing that we heard from individuals when we were creating this is something that drove them crazy. And actually, I can tell you, it was Joni Kalis, one of your former board members. And she said it always drove her nuts that so often they would get the evaluations and there would be no comments. So they would just get these check boxes and no comments. And then it's like, well, that only does me so good. I'm not getting that much information. So what we did is we made it an absolute requirement that both the supervisor and the trainee must submit comments. Now, obviously, we can't police the quality of those comments or how many comments that they answer. I mean, they could write the word agreed and that would be it. But we have seen that by requiring comments, there has been a little more thought into what they write into those boxes. And you get something, you have to get something, or else, as you see on the screen, they get this this stop box basically that says, hey, you can't submit this evaluation yet. So the other thing is that they can save their place in this evaluation and come back to it. So I know people liked that too. So I'm gonna see if I can get this to work. And we can go to the
So Leslie?
Yeah.
So as far as the sites that being chosen, how do you guys choose them? Or because in Arizona, the board approves the sites and primary and secondary PTs, which the applicants.
We don't do any of that. That all stays with you guys.
Okay.
Hopefully, yeah, I can get into this. So Sorry, it's taking a little bit of time here. But no, you don't relinquish any of that kind of control that you've had on anything else. Basically, the only piece of this is so they would submit to you their place that they're going to do it and their supervisor, and you guys would go ahead and approve those. And then you would say, okay, now what you guys need to do is create accounts, and then the evaluation part is going to be online, and we will get the information from your evaluation. Okay, so one feature I can show you, this is just probably my bandwidth happening here, but so one thing is if, say the person had done their initial supervised clinical practice in Arizona, and then they were going to be transferring to another state, or they were going to become licensed in another state. So what you can do is you can actually, let's see, give you guys an idea here. Well, of course, it's not going to work right now. I'm going to come out of the slideshow and see if I can do this with you. But I will go on to the next one first, and then we'll come back and try to get online. And if not, then I will, like I said, you guys can get online access by creating your own account. So you can sort of play around with it. That's what a lot of people have wanted to do prior to making a decision, so they could really see it. So just before I try to get online with it and share that with you, some of the benefits that we've heard from our jurisdictions, as well as the people who, your colleagues and peers who helped develop this, the PET, whereas is that it's developed for foreign educated PTs very specifically. It's completed by the trainee and the supervisor. It evaluates the ability to communicate professionally as a PT, which is a little different than many other tools out there. It had a standard setting process with subject matter experts to determine a pass, no pass score, which completely leads to the validity and the defensibility of this tool, because there aren't other tools out there that can say that they specifically went through a standard setting process, and they specifically were looking at the requirements for a foreign educated PT. As I said, we have comments that are required. It's a consistent evaluation tool across anybody who comes into your state. It's available to all jurisdictions. It's a web-based tool. It's free. And like I said, the Federation is going to do the work for you when it comes to the customer service part of it. So I'm going to try here. If you're interested in where the scoring rules came from, how it is that somebody passes or doesn't, that's a lot for me to try and go into right now. There is a document that you can read that that explains all of the scoring rules. So, see if I can. Ah, beautiful. Are you guys still seeing the screen that's come up that has the FSBPT website on it or not?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. So you wouldn't see this in particular. I'm an admin, so I can see everything, but you would have the ability to see these scoring rules so that you can understand, and it goes through everything and how to evaluate the PT. Now, these are complicated, I'm not gonna lie. It talks about how many yeses can you have, how many nos can you have, how many not observes can you have, and all of this scoring is done automatically, which allows, the individual who is filling out the form to, all they have to do is fill out the form, which is great. Sorry. I just want to get to the, I don't want to log in. I just want to get to the thing that has it so you can see it. But what you can see is, you know, we have a number of people that are using it. You can see who the supervisor is. This is what you would see as a jurisdiction. You can see who the trainees are, who the supervisor is. You can see what happened at their midpoint, whether they pass, and then you just click on that. And that gives you, like I said, this is yes, 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 yes. And then you get all of these comments. You go to the next section. Yes, 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 or the answers. These are how the supervisor rated, and here are the other comments. And this is what you would get as your report. And you can print this so that you could share it with all of, you know, all of you. Okay, great. This will help. So you guys can, you guys are seeing this on the screen right now? Okay. So this is what an actual supervisor and also trainee would see. So they both go through and do the do their own rating so that then they can compare. So some of the professional behaviors, practices in a manner that's safe for the patient. These bullet points are ideas to get people thinking, and we tell them in the directions, hey, this isn't an all-inclusive list. This is just to get you thinking. And you've got a group here called essential criteria. That means you have to pass all, by being called observed and competent. You have to pass all of these essential criteria. Like, they're non-negotiable. They are that important. And if I'm the supervisor, all I have to do is click these radio buttons, right? Observed and competent or not competent. And I just go, it's super fast. It's very user friendly. And so the number of essential criteria does change between large category areas or six category areas. The evaluative criteria, these evaluative criteria are not, you can have a certain number that are a no or not observed, because in not all clinical areas, especially when we look at the interventions and some other things, not all clinical areas are going to require you to do all of the different interventions. So sometimes it might be not observed, which is good information for all of you too, because if you're like in your communications with them, you find out that they're going to go be doing wound care as a major part of their job. But then you find out that wound care was never observed during their supervised clinical practice, that might be something that you say, hey, this whole thing looks good, but we need you to also do another 20 hours specifically in wound care with somebody, or, you know, something along those lines. So again, these ones that are bolded, that's actually what you are rating, as in, yes, I observed it, or yes, they're competent, no, they're not competent, or I didn't observe it. And these are just these smaller ones underneath in italics are just things to help stimulate. Well, what are we talking about in that bold? So that is professional standards, or excuse me, professional behaviors. The next category is communication and documentation. You can see this is when we start talking about English language proficiency, and maintaining records of clinical care. And then you've got a smaller number of evaluated criteria down here. The next thing is examination. And so you go through essential criteria that they have to meet, and then evaluative criteria. And obviously this is when this is becomes PT specific, and, you know, it's why it's not appropriate for PTAs to use. So, and you can see there's a number of performance tests and measures. This information comes from the NPTE. It came from the core, some APTAs ethics document, and it came from the NPTA blueprint and work activities for the entry-level physical therapist. And then also core competencies from the FSBPT. So the next category is evaluation, diagnosis, and plan of care. And you can see again. So it's all laid out exactly the same way in all the different categories. So a category of intervention too. And then the final category is the United States healthcare system. So like I said, that's very unique, very unusual, but it talks about understanding the role of physical therapists, demonstrating an understanding of the laws and rules of the federal laws and rules, state laws and rules, facilities, policies and procedures, third-party payers, charges, how to assigning charges, assigning diagnostic codes, understanding payment systems. So that is all found. And that is something you're not going to find on the NPTE, right? There's very little, if anything, about billing and issues like that. So anyway, that is, so that is really a pretty quick look at it. Like I said, I didn't want to take too much of your time, but I think you can have a general feel for it, what some of the benefits are. I just feel like it gives you as a board a much more defensible tool to use. And I think that is one of the strengths of it, one of the biggest strengths. Also, I know speaking to like the people in Virginia who've been using it for so long, they really appreciate the fact that there's so little maintenance for them to do. We had a situation not too long ago where an individual could not figure out, they couldn't get their final evaluation. It kept coming up, like they called us and they're like, I can't find it. And then they called the board and said, what's going on? And so we all got on together. It turned out that the supervisor had never submitted the final evaluation. It was done, but they hadn't hit submit. So the minute they hit submit, I received it, the Federation received it, and the board received the email. The board went in, they looked at it, and it was very clear. I think that's the other thing. It's very clear for you guys when somebody passes or fails. It says pass, fail. And then you can go into the details and you can see what happened to make that happen. And if there's even one essential criteria that is not passed, that person is going to fail. And then the nuance is in that evaluative criteria. So then you'd have to break down more into the scoring details and be like, okay, where did we go wrong? You know, what happened? Where is the weakness? What should the remediation be to help develop that? The scoring rules are all written out. There's a background paper on this. There's a background paper on the tool regarding implied bias and some other type of biases. It's a highly researched tool and based in some really pretty good science, and also based on, like I said, peers and colleagues of yours that came together and said, we are just missing, some major pieces of this puzzle. So I think that's all I have for you today. If you have questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Ms. Adrian, this is Peggy Hunter. In the area where it has competent, not competent, if they click not competent, is there any way there's an explanation of why the supervising physical therapist does not think that person is competent?
It would go in the comments. In each section has comment, okay, a comment box. So you would expect that if they wrote not competent, that they would put comments in there. That's another thing. You could send it back to someone and say, can you comment specifically on this? They would just resubmit the evaluation. So, but no, it isn't like it doesn't automatically create a text box when it says not competent and require information to be inputted.
All right. Thank you.
No, I don't have any questions. I think, so I appreciate you taking the time to educate us on this, and appreciate the Federation going through all the trouble.
And if any of you would like to have a login in order to just play around, I mean, you can, if you wanted to even team up and one of you be a supervisor and one of you be a trainee, you can just create accounts and kind of mess around in it and get a feel for it. And if Karen, if you wanted to do a jurisdiction account or a couple of you want a jurisdiction account just to see, you know, like have somebody, I guess, like I said, you paired up and had a trainee and a supervisor, and then you also had a jurisdiction account, you'd be able to sort of do all the stuff with it and get a feel and be able to see how it would actually work for you. And I'm happy to do that if you reach out and want to. The trainee and the supervisor, you can do completely on your own and just sort of mess around and take a look in there. If you do want a jurisdiction account, just create a trainee or a supervisor account and then reach out to me and ask me to switch it for you.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you,
Lindsay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Now I'll see if I can figure out how to get out of here.